Thank you so much for that introduction. I'm excited to be here. Thank you all for coming. I wanted to acknowledge my collaborative team at the University of Michigan, as well as the University of Ghana and Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology in Ghana. These are our disclosures. So just to give you a little bit of background, we know that unintended pregnancy during adolescence is a persistent global health problem with significant consequences for young women, their families, and societies across the globe. So a significant maternal child health outcomes associated with unintended pregnancy during adolescence, as well as social consequences. And it's also a direct contributor to maternal mortality in Africa and other developing contexts. There are a complex set of individual, socio-political, and health systems issues that can preclude widespread modern contraceptive use among young women, particularly in Africa. So things that have been the focus of research include lack of knowledge, lack of awareness of methods, social context issues, and political issues that preclude women from accessing, particularly young and unmarried women, from accessing contraceptive methods and services. And then health systems barriers, such as lack of access to family planning clinics, logistical issues related to seeking family planning services, as well as lack of quality providers available to provide such services in women's communities. In countries like Ghana, so Ghana's in Western Africa, a fairly developed country in regards to comparisons of sub-Saharan African countries. But in countries like Ghana, as much as 42% of young women experience an unmet need for family planning methods and services, even though a substantial proportion report access or perceiving access to modern contraception. So in other fields, stigma, stigma may be associated with adolescent sexual and reproductive health. So stigma, for instance, may have implications for becoming sexually active as an adolescent and an unmarried woman, especially in highly religious communities, which Ghana is one of them, as well as stigma may have implications for contraceptive use subsequently, for unintended pregnancy, for early pregnancy and early childbearing, as well as abortion. However, we don't know, there's been very little research, in fact, on whether stigma may shape family planning outcomes in Africa or even in the U.S. This has not been well studied. Stigma has been defined as a complex, contextual, dynamic process that marks or taints an individual for an attribute that violates social expectations and that it is devalued culturally. There's been some research on stigma as it relates to the social status, the mental health, and quality of life, particularly among women living with HIV and AIDS, and the impact of that stigma that's associated with HIV/AIDS on utilization of healthcare services, in particular antenatal services for pregnant women with HIV, and on utilization of HIV-related services. Then there's other bodies of relevant literature that's really focused on stigma associated with abortion, so stigma that is experienced by women seeking abortion, as well as stigma that's experienced by providers of abortion services. There's been focus on stigma with, I would say increasing focus actually, on stigma associated with sexual orientation and how that may impact minority sexual status, health behaviors, and health service use. And then stigma associated with mental health conditions, such as serious mental illnesses, for instance, schizophrenia, where a lot of the literature lies, and an increasing attention to stigma and more common mental health conditions, such as depression. However, there's been, like I said, very little attention to the role of stigma in family planning and reproductive health, particularly during adolescence. So our team undertook a study to investigate the potential impact of stigma across all of the dimensions of sexual and reproductive health. So we had two phases of our study. This is a picture of our overall larger project design. In the blue, I highlight here the first part of the study, which was a qualitative study that we conducted in Kumasi and Accra, Ghana. So essentially this study was embedded in a larger mixed methods project focused more broadly on the social environment of adolescent sexual and reproductive health in Africa. And so we are particularly interested, as I mentioned, in the role of stigma in shaping family planning outcomes, and especially barriers to contraceptive use and barriers to service use. So the first part here I will focus on today, and this is a qualitative interview study with 63 young women who were ages 15 to 24 years old. And you can see we recruited similar numbers from Accra and Kumasi, so these are two major cities in Ghana. And we used a stratified sampling technique, a cluster-based sampling technique, to recruit women within five different senior high schools and within the Ghana educational system, and also five health services facilities across sub-metro regions in each city. So essentially, this sampling frame was used in order to provide a diversity in the types of schools women were recruited from. So we had women from public schools, co-education schools, as well as female-only schools, as well as the types of clinics. So we recruited women from antenatal clinics, family planning clinics, postnatal clinics, adolescent specialty clinics, abortion and child welfare clinics. And so essentially this sampling frame gave us some diversity in reproductive history characteristics, socioeconomic status, relationship types, and religious backgrounds. So we conducted in-depth, as I mentioned, individual semi-structured interviews with young women recruited from each of those sites. And essentially, interviews were conducted in English or one of two local languages, Twi or Ga, and they were recorded and transcribed verbatim. We used thematic analysis, so applying principles of grounded theory and narrative inquiry in our interviews. The interview guides were developed drawing from a comprehensive literature review on stigma, so stigma more broadly and what we know about it in health context, as well as stigma within reproductive health, so particularly around abortion, and the measurement of stigma in particular. The broader project, or the let me go back, the broader focus of this larger study was to ultimately develop a standardized stigma scale, so a formal instrument used to measure stigma across the dimensions of reproductive health. So keeping in mind with that, we wanted to get qualitative information to inform the development of that scale. And then interviews were entered into Deduce software for data management and analysis. So here I sort of summarize the results. Our interviews, because they were so broad, they took about an hour to an hour and a half to complete, and they were conducted in the field at the community-based sites by our trained Ghanaian research assistants. But because they were so broad, we came up with five different sort of umbrellas or themes of findings. And you can see here, I'm going to focus on the top theme, stigma and discrimination, but other relevant themes that were closely related, in fact, included social and health consequences of adolescent sexual and reproductive health, multiple levels of influence on sexual and reproductive health. We had some interesting data on abortion knowledge and attitudes and experiences, and then finally family planning knowledge, attitudes and experiences, and that really encompassed the results on contraceptive use and family planning service use. So here are some key codes from the stigma findings, and I've listed them by stigma domain. So when we conducted the literature review to really help inform our interview guides and sort of our frame for this study, there were several really important stigma domains that guided that actually guided our questions, but also that our findings can be organized around. And so you can see community norms and lay attitudes around stigma, enacted experiences of stigma, so these are sort of external experiences of stigma, internalized experiences of stigma, disclosure, and then stigma resilience. And then we added an additional domain because the impact on family planning needs became very apparent. So first, community norms identified non-marital sex and its consequences, including pregnancy, childbearing, abortion, and STIs, as overwhelmingly negative. They were described as acts of immorality, as disrespectful and disobedient, all culminating with the image of bad girl. And this idea of bad girl came up repeatedly across interviews, this language, bad girl. And second, community norms were really closely tied with experiences of enacted stigma. So for instance, enacted stigma included gossip, marginalization, discrimination, mistreatment, and abuse from all members of young women's communities, but in particular, healthcare workers were a major source of stigma. Both enacted stigma and community norms were related to women's experiences with internalized stigma. So internalized stigma experiences left young women who were sexually active, pregnant, or childbearing feeling shame and disgrace and shy. And these are words that were used among all participants. Fourth, non-disclosure and secret keeping were strategies used to avoid or reduce stigma. And then finally, stigma resilience was achieved, although seldomly reported, was achieved primarily through social support. And collectively, stigma was described as a barrier to contraceptives and family planning service use. So just to highlight some of the key findings through women's own words and quotes, here we have a 17-year-old high school student from Accra who comments on community norms and its impact on sexual behavior. She says, "You've brought disgrace to your family and to your teachers because they have taught you or educated you on those things, abstaining from sex. And so they weren't expecting you to go into it. So it's a big disgrace to the teachers and the family and the whole community." Here we have another student from Kumasi, a 16-year-old, who speaks about women's experiences with stigma and pregnancy in her community. "She is mocked if she is not married, especially if she's a teenager. She will be shy to come out and will stay indoors because her peers will gossip about her and look at her. In her presence, they will be friendly, but when she leaves, they will insult and laugh at her. Things will change because no one wants to walk with a bad girl." And this idea of shyness was also repeatedly discussed among women. Here we have a 22-year-old married woman from a family planning clinic in Accra, and she is discussing her experiences of internalized stigma that she had with her adolescent pregnancy. And she says, "My pregnancy became a shame to me, but at a point I ignored it. I had already aborted one pregnancy. If I abort the second time, it is not good. However, when I gave birth fresh, I felt shy. In my community, girls of 15 years give birth, and they are okay. And yet I gave birth at 19, and I say it's a shame, and I felt shy. But now I have grown, I have taken my mind off the shame and shyness." And so you can hear potentially a little bit of resilience as she's coped with this over time, but also the predominant theme of internalized stigma. Here we have a 19-year-old high school student from Accra talking about the idea of non-disclosure, and particularly as it related to abortion in her community. She speaks of other young women. "If she does the abortion, she will be going through pain, but nobody knows. But if the young girl is pregnant and schooling, she cannot walk into town. Oh, people will gossip about her. If an adolescent is pregnant, it's not like a married woman. She will normally hide. But when they see her, they will insult her." Here we have another 17-year-old high school student from Kumasi discussing the idea of stigma, resilience, and pregnancy. She says, "Other people didn't treat her badly," and she's referring to her one of her best friends. "Other people didn't treat her badly. They received her because she was feeling the pain that she was going through as a young girl with this pregnancy and being beaten, sleeping outside. And they felt for her and tried to help her out." And so she's talking about the role of the community who stepped up to support this young woman in the face of her being ostracized from her family and even physically abused. And finally, we have a 16-year-old high school student from Kumasi discussing unmet family planning needs among adolescents in her community. She says, "No, teenagers won't patronize family planning health services because those who have sex feel shy, and they are not of that age to give birth or to get pregnant, so they will definitely feel too shy to go." Similarly, another 16-year-old high school student says, "Nurses especially will send her away and say she is a bad girl because of the way they treat teenagers or who are pregnant. They insult them. So no, she cannot go get family planning." So our findings have generated a working model and a working hypothesis to facilitate understanding of adolescent sexual and reproductive health stigma and its impact on unmet family planning need. So you can see the model depicts how community norms around adolescent sexual and reproductive health here can determine whether and the extent to which young women then go on to experience enacted stigma and internalized stigma. Stigma may be then moderated or facilitated by whether young women disclose the stigma and the stigma experiences, or whether they are resilient and have social support and other services to help them cope with the stigma. And ultimately, how this process can shape family planning behaviors as well as decision making and access to family planning services and methods. So overall, I think this model has important implications for guiding research, clinical practice, and public health programs and policy efforts to shift social and cultural paradigms around different dimensions of adolescent sexual and reproductive health. And we've taken these findings and applied them to our quantitative study. So we were in the field over the summer, and we finished collecting data on 1,080 young women in Kumasi and Accra, recruited from the same community-based sites. And we administered a comprehensive survey that we have a subset of items focused on stigma associated with different dimensions of sexual and reproductive health that was informed by the qualitative work. And now we are doing some examination of those items and some factor analysis to see sort of what emerges as the most important items in terms of measuring these different constructs and experiences. And ideally, it's going to result in a formal stigma scale that really captures all of the dimensions of reproductive health during adolescence and how that impacts their modern contraceptive use as well as their family planning service use. And I'd just like to acknowledge my various funders and thank you for your attention.